It's hot as hell in here. What's going on? Because it's hot as hell in here. What's going on?
Oh, God, Kellen's naked. God
damn. Yeah, I'm butt-ass naked. Yeah. Thank you. Starburst. It's hot as hell in here. I had to cut the fan off because it was messing up the microphone.
I was messing up a little bit.
Yeah, so I didn't feel like hearing that crap, and I'm butt-ass naked right now.
Sounds like overcompensation. A little bit.
What, be a butt-ass naked?
Talking to a few guys.
I'm butt-ass naked.
I mean, usually, yeah, usually video's on when he's doing that.
Shut up. I'm butt-ass naked in a pink room talking to guys on the internet.
That's the usual Saturday night for you. Dude, I have that recorded forever. That's gonna be played at your fucking funeral now, dude.
Thank you.
My bad.
Okay. But thank you for the Starburst, and I'm going to go ahead and eat these.
You want dinner?
Sure. How are you going to ask me for dinner? How are you going to give me candy and then ask me about my dinner?
I don't know. It was on my mind. Dinner's on my mind. Don't ask me about my logic.
Wait a second. Dinner's on your mind when you see me naked?
No. My thing is, why are you naked in our daughter's room?
That's a good question.
Dude.
That's an amazing question. That's like the question of the century.
Yeah, it's not like she's in here.
Thank you, Christ.
Hey, thank gosh she's not here. She doesn't even see all this.
No.
Oh, no. You need to leave that conversation in because I'm going to put it at the beginning of the episode.
Okay.
All right, can you step out of here so I can finish my show, please?
No, don't do it.
Damn. So funny.
Yeah, they can hear us. It's like a live microphone. What the hell are you...
Oh, I didn't know.
You see, like, wait a second, let me get this straight. You walk into a room, you hear me talking out loud, and then you ask me, can they hear us?
Man, how many times have we heard the word axe? Come on, Cal, ask.
Okay, well, do you want the dinner?
Yes, I want the dinner.
Okay.
That was the greatest.
How does hell in here for that? Look, unless you're going to get me, like, some ice cubes and, like, a cold-ass washcloth and maybe an air conditioner that goes on silent, you can't really help me right now for that.
Well, okay,
this
is weird
in our daughter's
room.
All right.
Love you.
Okay. Oh my God! What the hell is we talking about?
Yeah, if it isn't time, for
Calvin, what's your second article?
Here on the Wolf of Color.
Pretty weak caliber, but a pretty good episode of Off Color Cast. We are a segmented podcast that covers the serious, the amazing, no, close enough, and the aggressive of EDH or Commander. This is Chris. I love EDH. Well, love is a strong word. I play EDH, and I'm a butt. Let's say hi to our other guest hosts here. You guys are guests now. Hey, Cassidy. I want you to say hi to everybody.
Hey, it's Cassidy. I guess I'm a guest host this week, which is cool because, you know, it's always good to be a guest on your own show.
Yeah. I replaced you both while you weren't looking, so you're both in a permanent guest role.
I knew this was going to happen. Always be sure to check out those articles on TCG Player in the Magic section on Thursdays. And although 22 is a weak caliber, if you've ever seen The Wire, that one chick, Snoop, she says it bounces around in there, just saying.
Yeah, but she made the guy do most of the killing.
Yeah, it's because she was a badass. She's a woman. She knows she's an intellectual finger.
then she got Beast.
Did she?
Yeah. Oh, you don't know?
Did she die in the last season, or?
I don't know when they killed her.
I don't think they did.
Oh, they totally did, 'cause she's like, how my hair look? And he's like, fine, then he pieces her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she actually got arrested for selling drugs, so. Again. Alright, well, that's a long intro, so. Let's bring that back in there.
Let's say hello to that other guest host, Calvin. What up, Calvin?
Hey, everybody. It's Calvin. Me and Cassidy sound kind of like Eeyore now that we're guests. Yeah, if you're looking for me, you can find me over at offcolorcast.com. And the only thing I can say is 22 is pretty fine if it's the size of the rims on your car. Can't lose with 22s. That's what's up.
Oh, sweet. CCW Mania 2011's out.
I gotta watch that stuff still. I forgot to.
Man, you'd think that all people do in CCW was purposely hurt Eddie Kingston.
Well, Eddie Kingston's the dumbass who won't leave CCW.
I think he's gone now. I think he's just in Chikara.
Right. Oh. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, well, well. If it isn't time for Chris's stupid card thing, here on Off Color.
Okay. Beautiful folks. What do you know? It's time for my stupid card thing again. This week, we're going to be... Oh, you're recording, right, Cassidy? Because mine didn't start.
Yes.
Okay. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, the numbers are picking up and shit.
Okay, cool. Okay, welcome to my stupid card thing. This week we've got a Sorcery Black. I was just playing my Karavec deck the other day, and I got to cast this bad boy, and it was a good old time. We're looking at Noxious Vapors, one black for a sorcery. Each player reveals his or her hand and chooses one card of each color from it, then discards all other non-land cards. I usually will try to keep people from running most discard cards in EDH, because usually they're targeting one person, and you don't get to pick anything sweet. This one I like because it targets everybody, even yourself. And you have the possibility of hitting a bunch of cards depending on the decks, and every colorless card gets pitched no matter what. So I'm always a fan of that. Cassidy, have you ever had to play with this bad boy before?
No. But it's pretty sweet, honestly. I gotta say, I like it a lot. I play Karavec too, so I think this would be a pretty good card for my Karavec deck. And the name is fantastic as well. Just hearing the name just reminds me of my childhood. yeah, I really like this card. Playing it with like one hit card or one non land card and a bunch of lands in your hand would be really sweet. Because it's just like, oh yeah, I show you all my lands. I don't discard this card and fuck your dude's hands. And the fact that it's only casting on black colorless is actually really really good, because most heavy discard cards like what's the new one? It's not Battle with Wit's End, where it's like seven to rape one hand. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Compared to Noxious Vapors, that card's terrible. So I've actually never seen this one before, but I'm liking it so far.
Yeah, I find that if someone's got like the Venture's Journal or the Reliquary Tower and they're like mono blue, you're pretty much just wishing you get this card every time.
Or Operator's Council, too.
Yeah, if they're not holding the counterspell. Mm-hmm. Calvin, what do you think?
Well, after taking a quick look at Noxious Vapors here, one of the first things that came to my mind was about exactly how messed up this card could be for a five-color deck. Like, because you have to pick one for each color that's revealed, and if you happen to reveal a hand that has five colors in it, they can actually save their whole hand, basically, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So this would be pretty good for a five-color deck to run to try to get rid of other people. Because, unless everybody else is playing five colors, chances are you would actually hit more cards from them than you'd hit from yourself. Blah, 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 with a cheap mana cost for it, with it only really being three, it's really not that harsh to actually worry about in a five-color deck either. I mean, aside from the fact that it's double black, but still, if you're playing a five-color deck, I'm pretty sure you can figure out a way to fix the mana correctly to get there.
Yeah, and against, like, a general like Karn or Kozilek or someone like that, you're pretty much just discard all your non-land cards.
Yeah. Just fucked up.
If they were to print that today, it would probably be, like, non-land, non-artifact or something.
Or it just wouldn't have nearly as much scope. It's kind of like the opposite of, All Suns Rise, or what's that called? All Suns Dawn, right? You're like, you choose one card and bring them back, and redraw them. Mm-hmm. This is like, you choose one of each hand, then you dump it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you're probably going to come out on the plus end for expending one card to take out so many other cards. Though you might be hitting yourself, too, so you gotta, you might want to watch when you're casting it. Unless you're running Reanimator and there's stuff you want to get pitched to the yard anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good call, is just reanimating. Like, as you mentioned, if it's a colorless card, you can just drop a Wormcoil Engine, because I'm playing that in my Karabekh deck, you know. You know,
that might be a good addition, because I need to gain life for all the life that I'm always losing.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Lifelink is a huge part of my Karabekh deck, so like the Wormcoil Engine is like super solid.
Actually, you know, that actually would be pretty good for like a nice zombie themed deck. If you were to use this, you could toss everything in there, kind of bring your zombies and blood creatures back from the graveyard with like Balthor or something.
Yeah, actually, even in like Caridor Reanimator, like you'll be able to discard a lot of cards for like, you know, pretty good price. Hold on one sec.
Is food in the background?
No. This kid wants food. Good night, buddy.
He's saying your show's shit.
He doesn't like your choices.
He was saying, like for a kiss.
Yeah, he was saying, you suck. That's what I heard.
I hope he fucking goes to bed today. He didn't sleep at all last night, little bastard.
Killed
him. Alright. My bad. I mentioned a little bit earlier, too, like, against Prayer's Council, this card is just baller. Like, my brother plays Riku, and he just, like, once he gets Prayer's Council, it's kind of like, god damn it, you have, like, 12 counter spells in your hand, fuck you. but after that, it's just like, you're back down to, like, maybe 12 cards or something, including land, so, yay.
yeah, it doesn't really do anything to the lands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other good thing about it is, like, you know, with it being, like, only three mana, you could actually be able to, like since you can cast this pretty early, it does work a lot better than the other, like, discard spells.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the other ones, they have, like, that either their high mana cost and do a lot of the cards, but by the time you reach the point where you could cast them, like, what was that one you were talking about from,
Within? Yeah.
Within?
Yeah.
Like, by the time you get to the mana cost to cast that damn thing, no one really has a hand unless they're actually the person playing the, God damn it. Unless they're the kind of person playing, like, the Reliquary Towers and using, that fucking tome. What is it? Is that Teferi, or is that?
Oh, Venser.
Venser's
Journal. Yeah, unless they're the kind of person using one of those, like, you know, most of the time, by the time you get around to making them discard their hand, they don't have shit. But at least with this, since it's only three mana, by the time you can get the mana to cast this early, you should still be able to hit a decent amount of cards without having to worry about your opponents actually stockpiling them. And since it does hit all players, it basically could potentially be, like, one card for up to at least 8 cards in the chains, because, you know, what's that, like, 3 cards each person?
Mm-hmm.
3 or 4, like, you know, 3 to 2 cards each person?
I also really like this with Mind Warp or Mind Shatter, which I've been using a lot lately. You know, you can basically get a lot more cards first, and then they're always going to have, like, a few cards left over after this, right? So I'll just spend the extra 3 or 4 mana and, shat on the rest of their hand. Take a big dump on their face.
I'm seeing if there's any madness cards that I would conceivably play with this in my hand.
Oh,
maybe Big Game Hunter.
Gerber and Descent?
That's a lot of mana, though. Though I usually end up just hard casting Gerber and Descent.
Oh, yeah, my bad. I was thinking.
So spending 6 mana for Gibbering Descent is pretty ridiculous. Spending 4 is a little less ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. What's the other one, too, that was really sweet?
What about the worm? Arrogant Worm or something like that?
Yeah, like I mean, it's like a 4-4 trample is what you want to be doing.
Well, when you think about it, like, you're using this and you're going to make them discard it anyway, and then everybody else is going to be tossing stuff out.
Yeah.
You could use Big Game Hunter. I mean, he could take out stuff.
Yeah, Big Game Hunter might be okay. It'd be funny to, like, pitch Cauldron of Another World to grab one of the other dudes you discard. That seems not worth it.
Let me look up Cauldron of Another World.
It's just, it's got a Madnix cost of 0. Return target black creature card from your graveyard to your hand.
Oh, yeah, okay, I got it. I see it. Why not?
Oh, if you could figure out a way to give it rebound and get a chance to get two black creatures back. Oh, and then you could actually get the discard twice, too.
A lot of these, most of the Madnix cards do not look like something you'd want to cast without Madnix, though. Not in EDH, anyway.
Yeah. I think you could also do Megrim with...
Yeah, Megrim.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Liliana's Caress. I've never had both out at the same time, but it could exist.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you're running any of those, like, punishing for discard cards, it's always going to be good, too. I mean, unless they're running, like, lands, EDH, and then they just laugh at you. But who's doing that?
I mean, if you're running against lands, EDH, and you're red-black, you're kind of fucked anyway,
aren't Yeah, you're not doing shit.
Well, I guess you got instant speed answers, so you can kill a bunch of lands, but, yeah. I'm definitely, I mean, we're not to the thumbs up or thumbs down part yet, but I'm actually going to try to get my hands on this. This might be the best card you've ever recommended.
I was going to say, this might be too good.
Yeah. That's cool, though. We could actually be helping people instead of just showing them more cards they don't need to play with.
What are you talking about? These are all cards they need to play with. I'm expanding their horizons.
Expanding their horizons.
Yeah. But, yeah, don't run Duress. Don't run, like, him to Torak. Noxious Vapors is A-okay, though. Please, for the love of God, stop running Duress.
But it's shiny. From Graveboy.
It's just, I mean, I'm sure that somebody somewhere has a good, like, if you're playing, like, I forget his name. Rexiel, yeah. Yeah. Maybe then you can run Duress. That's the only time it's allowed. I'm banning Duress. That is what I would do. I would ban cards that you shouldn't play. Because, you know, I am somebody who should be talking about what you shouldn't play. My ban list would be like Duress. The end.
Worst ban list ever.
Best ban list. Grizzlebrand's okay, but Duress, get that fucking shit out of here.
OP to the max.
Yeah, well, since I brought it such a gem... And we're pretty much done talking about it already. Let's go to the thumbs up part, Cassidy. Let's see what your exciting revelation will be about this card.
Well, as I mentioned, I'm actually kind of happy with this card. I'm going to give it a try. And in fact, I was building a Karavek deck for this week's article, and I think I'm going to do another one with more discard and Megrim style stuff in it. So, yeah, definitely big thumbs up. Much better than last week's arthritic.
Dude, that thing ruled.
Oh, God.
I was half-master last week. Equipoise, for sure.
You realize, man. I'm still reading text for that stupid card last week, right?
He's still looking up the rules.
All right, Calvin, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Yeah, but like, you know, I have to actually go with a thumbs up on this one as well. I mean, literally, this card is actually too good for your stupid card segment. So, I think this card...
just one card of each color, and it does nothing.
Like, I think this is like, yeah, but even then, still, like, you'd have to have... For that to happen, you have to be at a table where everyone else is playing five colors.
I mean, I don't know. They could be just have a five-card hand, three lands, one red card, and one green card.
Or,
yeah,
I mean...
That's what I'm saying. They'd have to actually be playing, like, this basically would be something that would pretty much screw over just any mono-colored deck.
Yeah, it would blow out my Omnath deck because it's all artifacts and green, you know. And, like, not even that. Like, there's less lands in it even, so I would probably lose, like, five cards on average to that early game.
Right. It loses, it like, what you call artifact decks like Karn and anything that runs tons of artifacts loses out to it. So even if you had an mono-colored deck that runs a lot of equipments or something like that, done. If you're playing a two-colored deck and you happen to be color-screwed or whatever the case may be, done. Mm-hmm. If you happen to be playing a three-color deck, you could be fine. I mean, it might not hit you that hard, but still, in the same token, like, it really depends on what you're actually doing. And if you're, and even then, like, in that situation, this one three-mana sorcery basically takes out, like, at least a bunch of, like, people at the table. And it's almost guaranteed to hit something, unless yeah. everybody happens to accidentally have everything. And even then, if it did, it's like, in that case, it'd be like, what, maybe the one card that you cast and it did nothing and it was just three mana. Whoop-de-doo. It's not like you did, like, one of the other big seven mana discard cards and hit absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and at least you got the fact, I mean, everybody's seeing each other's hands, so mm-hmm. right. more serious people can take that to their advantage.
Exactly. So, like, you know, it, like, there's almost, like, really no real major downside to it, with the exception of the potential of hitting someone who has nothing and you get a chance to see his hand. And even then, it would just be a three-mana peak.
Would you play this turn three, or would you wait for the game to get crazy and see who's got the retarded hand sizes?
It depends. I mean, if your hand isn't going to suffer from it at all, and, like, you got turns 4, 5, and 6 and all that covered anyways, like, if you just have, like, a hand of, like, your starting hand is just this card, a bunch of lands, and maybe, like, what, I don't know, like a Doomblade or something, yeah, go for it. Why not? Because you're probably going to get people's early ramp. A lot of decks with green in it have a lot of early green stuff to do, you know, so, like, make them choose between all these different ramps and stupid shit would be really nice.
You could actually combine this with whatchamacallit, fucking Howling Mines and, like, Fountain Mishaps and shit like that, so you can make your opponents draw more cards. And then when you finally cast it, you force them to discard more because they have more cards.
Hell yeah, dude. Totally.
You know what would be really good? Painter's Servant.
Oh. Yeah, another reason Painter's Servant should be legal. I really do think that card should be legal because there's way more annoying combos out there, so yeah. Bring it.
But I mean, the what cards should be legal and what cards shouldn't be discussion will exist till the end of time.
Yeah, I think we already did that discussion. But we cut out the Painter's Servant because I think someone said something really stupid in the middle of it.
Probably me.
Yeah.
Something I do.
I'm going to assume it was me because I probably said something that involved the N-word.
That too. All right. So did you give a thumbs up, Calvin, or did you just skirt the issue?
Yeah, he said thumbs up.
Okay, cool.
I think I said thumbs up. But anyway, it's thumbs up and it's still too good for your segment. I personally think that this should be considered a disqualified card.
Okay, kids, so we got two thumbs up, and this card might actually be runnable. I don't believe this is the best card I've done, because we've done Equipoise and Herald of Leshrac and stuff. So please, if you can think of a card that's better than this one out of the stupid cards that we've done, email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com and tell these two yahoos why they're wrong.
Yeah, next week we're going to be doing Kraken Hatch one.
Nah, that's boring. Sir, what was it? Nightshade Seer's price to the worst one.
Oh, yeah, Nightshade Seer's god-awful card.
And now it's time for Cassidy's Audacity. He doesn't follow the rules. Off color.
So this week for Cassidy's Audacity, I want to revisit something we talked about, I don't know how long ago. If anyone does know, congratulations. But anyways, we talked about 30 life, basically having 30 maximum life starting instead of 40 in EDH. And, it was one of those things where we hadn't tried it, but we'd heard about it, mostly from Commander Cass Andy. And I wanted to give it a try. So basically, I've actually played probably like over 100 games at 30 life now. Because me and my brother play 1-1 a lot, and 30 life has been really, really nice. But also, we've been making other people do it, like even in 5-way games, just have 30 life to get much faster. It cuts off like 20 minutes from like grindy games, you know. Of course, it doesn't really have much of an effect on combo finishes, you know, because they usually don't deal damage anyways. But you can kill the combo player faster, so that's actually nicer. We were just talking about before the show, I'm not sure how long we're going to be able to make this segment last, but I've been enjoying 30 Life. And I know I played a little bit of 30 Life with Calvin. Actually, that night we played with Andy, I think. And did we play 30 Life with the tag teams too?
Okay. No, we did 40 with the tag teams.
Okay. So, Calvin has played a little bit of 30 Life. So let's see what Calvin thinks of his experiences with 30 Life, whatever they may be.
Oh, 30 Life? Oh, 30 Life's awesome. Like, I personally really think it is a better starting total for actual EVH games. Mainly because it does make, like I've said before, that actually does bring in, like, more caliber for other types of decks. Like, you can actually play, like, aggressive decks and actually be, like, taken serious. Because, you know, with the cut and life total, you actually have creatures that can actually do more damage, and it just seems to fit better. And with the 30 life, it doesn't really affect too many of the other cards. I mean, what is it, Sarah's Ascendant is still kind of busted. But, you know, she's basically going to be busted in this format no matter what, and I still don't understand why fucking thing ain't banned.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's me. That's just me, personal opinion. Let's see, other things about 30 life. I'm out.
The thing about the Sarah Ascendant too is even though it does start off at 6/6 turn one, like I have been like lightning bolted or some similar effect, I can't remember which. That took me down to 29. Or no, it took me down to 28, so I think I got shocked. And then the Sarah Ascendant's like, I'm a 1/1 piece of crap, so it attacks for one. Oh, still only 29, sorry, you know, so
somebody running shock in your group?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
You have a Calvin over there?
No.
Did they run Gutshot too?
I can't remember the specific circumstance. I might have played it later on and someone cast something like Electrolyze. It was something. It was a shock damage anyways, you know. Also, speaking of shocks, if someone does happen to play like a Hollow Fountain, so they can play their turn one Ascendant, it's, like, pretty funny then, right? You know? Or even if they crack, like, a fetch land to get a Plains, it's still like, oh, I'm so little. So that's actually been one of the big things, because we mentioned it probably on the 30 Life, actually, that Sarah Ascendant is a first-turn scooper in a lot of games I've played, and making it so it's easier to, like, at least turn off, hopefully, because, I mean, once it hits, I mean, yeah, it's pretty much a good game, right? But Saracen has been one of the things. Also, Feldar Sovereign, which doesn't see a lot of play, but it's just fucking annoying that I can hit play and be like, na 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 boo boo, I just won, you know, so.
But you gotta flash it in.
or just sit there and be like, suck it.
That seems a bit harder. Unless you have Sweet Island Sanctuary.
Yeah.
Or Arborea's out.
Or, If, the Arcanist, right? Yeah.
I do like the fact that 30 life makes your, I mean, paying, using life as a resource is sweet and all, but in 40 life it seems like it's a little too easy. Like, paying 2 life to do something is like, you know, you don't even notice it.
Yeah.
30, I mean, you don't notice it too much at 30, but it's still, like, if you have, like, if you're running a bunch of shock lands or fetches, it will start to add up to the point where if you're playing against an aggro deck, it's probably going to take you out.
But, yeah, like Chris was saying, like, even though Chris might be getting on the fact that someone's playing Shock in EDH, that would be under the premise of them actually playing 40. Because when you think about it, like, what, one Shock to a player with a 40 life, wow, no one gives a damn. In fact, like, you could lightning bolt him and they probably wouldn't even care. A Lava Axe, no one probably would even notice. But when you're playing 30, these cards actually, if they do happen to hit, that's like 5, 6, 7, 8, that's 10 damage. And you're already at 20. In a 30 life game, that's like, you know, pretty like, you know, low, because you're pretty much playing at that point with like a regular life total from like a 60 card format, while everybody else still has the 10 point bonus. I mean, granted, it costs one player 3 cards to get there, if you count that as getting there, but it still is possible.
Yeah, exactly, and it actually has more of kind of like more of a pacing a little bit of as a, like a regular constructed play, you know, not necessarily like as like crucial the first turns and stuff, but like the Battlecruiser Magic type decks are just, I think they're pretty bad in general. Like they're always so slow, so anyone who's just remotely fast is gonna just destroy them. But like in 30 life, you know, when I first started playing Karavek when we were playing for 30 life, the deck wasn't as good and it was way slower. And like, there's just nothing no power I could actually put out fast enough to keep myself alive. And this is including, even with the Exquisite Blood and Blaze, so that tells you, that tells you how hard it was.
Yeah. Can you even cast Karavek in a 30 life game?
You can if you've done it right with Heartless Summoning and stuff like that. Yeah, yo. Heartless Summoning rules. The other thing that was been pretty cool too about 30 life, has been making it so like, as you mentioned, like the aggressive decks are going to be way more apparent. And also in particular, it's Voltron. Like, I play Ruhan a lot and like, basically, the deck only wants to put Ruhan into play and equip him and go for damage because it's so much more efficient than trying to deal 40 damage with other creatures. But with 30 life, it's been pretty easy to just, like, drop any fatty and suit it up, you know, and go to town. And then, like, the general damage is still a thing because there's, like, a 9-point damage difference is pretty intense, you know. But at the same time, like, it makes it so you can just be more aggro. You don't have to focus so much on keeping your general alive. Now if Ruhan gets tucked, it's not like, fuck, I'm dead. It's just like, well, shit, I hope I draw, like, you know, Sphinx, or I hope I draw even the fucking, you know, Fire Sword, Cigarette Smoker, Markov Blade Master, you know? That guy cleans the fucking house, you know? So, I've really been enjoying it. I really highly recommend it. I've been telling everyone pretty much to do 30 life, just because it makes games go quicker, you know?
Yeah, I'm beginning to think that the most fun part of any EDH game is when you pull your opening hand, and then it just starts to go downhill from there.
Right, exactly. Let's get back to that as fast as possible.
Yeah, I like anything that makes burn more relevant, and this definitely does. Latula gets better if Latula is good to begin with. Or just like, I think, Jaya Ballard might be cool in 30 life.
Yeah. Yeah, like you mentioned, like, this, everyone complains about red being, like, the shittiest color in EDH. Like, well, yeah, it's because there's 40 life, and, like, that's what red does, is deal damage. And so, even though red is still probably the weakest color just because Wizards of the Coast, like, you know, wants to sit on red's face for the rest of its life or something. I don't know. Maybe the redhead stepchild thing has a ringing real thing going on with it. But,
The problem with red is mainly because, when Wizards of the Coast first started designing this, they were basically making it so you couldn't do, like, 20 points of damage with, like, one card. To players, you know? Because, like, with the life total being 20, I mean, you could do a lot of damage, but they didn't want to make it too much. And then when you start playing an alternative format like EDH, it's not like Wizards was thinking, oh, in a few years, someone's going to make a format where they can play 40 life. And now you got, like, these cards that actually do 40 points of damage or whatever. No, they weren't really going that far. So a lot of the cards from Command were, like, regular Magic are just weak in red. Because, like, what, Lightning Bolt is good in just about every other format that it could possibly be played in, except for this one, because the life total is literally doubled. Red is designed to do 20 points of damage. And the fact that you actually have not only a format where there's three other people on average, but those three other people don't even start at 20. They start at double than what they would in a normal game.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you do have a 100-card deck, like what, that's like an extra 40 cards compared to like your regular 60 cards or so? Like, no. Yeah, an extra 40 cards to your 60. Then I'm pretty sure an extra 40 cards is not enough to actually finish people off through the means they're actually designed to work.
Well, yeah, and also, I mean,
a 30 life game, you know. What?
Oh, I was gonna say also they've been pretty strict about not breaking the color pie for red in the same way they aren't with like black, green, blue, or white.
We got pingers now. That's all we need.
Yeah, I mean, Red does what Red does really well, but they never give it, like, harmonized. They never give it Beast Within, you know? They give it fucking Chaos Warp, and we're like, oh my god, that's the best Red card ever. And then it's like, but I could just cast Beast Within and destroy it and give him a token. And then you're like, oh yeah, Red really sucks, doesn't it, you know? That's kind of how I look at it. But you're right. I mean, just like the pure numbers of it. And that's pretty much why 30 life is cooler for Red. A bunch of X spells will get the job done much faster, you know? So, I definitely recommend it. And, I'm not really sure there's too much else to say. Do you guys have anything else to say about it?
I guess the extra attack step spells will get a lot better. Or those red cards where you take an extra turn but you lose after that might actually be playable.
Right.
Final Fortune and shit, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
but you can see the Wizards actually is trying to do what they can to start actually giving Red a few tools to use in this particular format. If you look at things like, what was that, 10 mana cost Red spell that just basically fucks the game over and puts everybody at 1?
Worldfire?
Granted, it is a lot of fucking mana, in my personal opinion, pretty much sucks.
What about in, like, Joyra?
Yeah, it's a Joyra card, basically.
Yeah.
Suspend that, and what's that other one, like the Forked Bolt or whatever, that suspends on one red, and then you're just like, ah,
Well, I mean, that's every Joyra game anyway. It's just, which cards are you doing it with?
I think they kind of talked about it on Commander Cast, but it is basically, it's for Joyra, and it's the same thing for the other card, Omniscience. It's basically, like, something you're going to cheat into play. So I don't really think Worldfire is helping much for Red. It does the same thing Red always does. I would want to see Red, like, destroying enchantments, or, like, drawing a shit ton of cards without, like, fucking you over. You know, I want to see Red get something that's, like, even exiling creatures. Well, how awesome would that be if you could exile, like, an indestructible creature? You know?
Yeah, but that's kind of not Red's thing.
Well, I know, but that's the thing, is, like, every color on the color pie, like, green has all, like, there's so much bleed in all the color pie, like, almost none of the colors are recognizable except for red. Like, that's the thing, like, that's not Red's thing. It's like, well, so? Give it something else to do. No, that's not Red's thing. The new Planeswalker is just gonna, it's just gonna do random stuff, and then it's gonna, Insurrection, yeah! Like, all the other Planeswalkers do really cool things. Liliana even tutors for a swamp every turn. That seems pretty green to me, you know? So, I don't know. I just think that it's a weirdness that they don't bleed as much with Red. Red doesn't bleed, you know? It's just Red. That's all it is.
Well, I think the reason they don't bleed as much with Red is because they're trying to do what they can not to, hey, when you look at the color pie, all five colors, red, blue, white.
This conversation is going to go nowhere.
Shut up. When you look at the color pie, all five colors have, like, you know, there are various things that they're supposed to be good at. And pretty much all of them are good at what they're supposed to be doing at, what they're supposed to be good at doing. But in the recent years, between various sets and various back and forth and this and the third, basically every color has become good at doing something it shouldn't be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, green is actually able to do other kind of things. All the other colors have creatures that are too big, and that's supposed to be green's thing. Like, black and white actually have decent ways of actually taking care of, like, stuff they shouldn't be able to take care of. But the only color out the entire pie that's still kind of true to itself is red, because they don't really know what to do with red. Because red is supposed to be this color for burn and direct damage and emotion and anger, and it's kind of difficult to put emotion into a card game like this without it actually being, you know, damage or something like that. So they kind of give red random effects, and red kind of eventually gets screwed over in the pie. But now that they've actually gotten to the point where all the other four colors are kind of broken, you realize red might not be the color that's, is the only one of the four that hasn't been taken, put over the knee, and cracked in half.
Well, did you guys see the one thing where someone was like, Where's our red broken 2-mana card? Because right. Every other color has the broken 2-mana dude.
Yeah, really.
That's exactly where I was about to go. Like, see, red is the only color that hasn't actually gotten to that point. And Wizards, as far as I can tell, they're trying to do the best they can to keep it from getting there.
The other thing that red doesn't get the benefit of that most of the other colors do is that in the older sets, red was still red. Like, it's still doing the same stuff. Like, there isn't, like, an Ashes to Ashes or any of the weird old cards that they make sure not to print anymore. Because, right. like, black shouldn't be exiling creatures like that.
Right.
But red was still just doing, like, Lightning Bolt and shit. It wasn't doing weird, super weird stuff before they really had the game set up the way they wanted. It was still just, you know, doing red stuff.
Yeah, and, like, it would only be broken when you'd, like, throw Goblin Pile Drivers and stupid shit like that together, you know, and that doesn't work in EDH as well. But you're right, I never thought about that. Like, red wasn't broken before, like, blue was broken before, or black was. And then now that they've given all this power to green and they put all these, like, stupid abilities on the stick, they still don't let red get much better. So, like newer blue cards aren't as good as older blue cards for the most part, you know? But
probably the best thing they printed for red in a long time is Basilisk Collar. Don't even lie, Calvin, you know it.
Oh my god, my finger can gain me a life, hit a dude, and kill it.
Yeah, you put that on, like, your Goblin Sharpshooter, and you're like, I'm ready.
Ready. like now my Goblin actually is, he's not a sharpshooter anymore, he's a Goblin Sniper.
Alright, so, we got a little off topic, but anything you want to close with about 30 life?
Yeah, just, I highly recommend it. You know, we talked about how we would come back and report how 30 Life was going once we tried it out, and I definitely have quite a bit. Me and my brother pretty much only, like, we insist on it, and other people are like, what do you mean? It's 40. Like, no, 30. You know, and then they're like, okay, and then we play it, and they're like, okay, that was pretty sweet, you know. I mean, there's really, to me, there's no reason to even keep it at 40. Like, I feel like it should just be official and we should just get over 40, because I think a lot of the problems with it, with EDH, are in 40.
Oh, man, I like to play slow-ass games every now and then where I don't have to worry about anything.
Well, yeah.
You can do that at 30, because all you have to do is just put down a bunch of defensive creatures and gain some life.
Right. Have you seen the way I build my decks? I'm not usually doing anything until, like, turn 5.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'll still last a turn 5, too. I mean.
I think it's good to just do whatever you want. There'll always be people who cling to the rules, but I'm fine with them leaving it at 40 and just the cool kids can do 30.
Yeah, sounds good. Anything else you'd like to add there, Calvin?
Goblin Pile Driver is the shit.
He doesn't really look like he's pile driving in the art, though.
Yeah, I always thought that was kind of annoying.
He's like, what's that, like, going for the cross-faced chicken wing?
No, he's just like, he's just giving him a midget sleeper, like,
yeah.
Like being dragged by this big guy. That's all he's doing. Like that Mitch Hedberg joke. When I wear a backpack and a turtleneck, it's like a really weak midget's trying to bring me down.
Man, I don't know. There's always, red does have the best, like, man, shit's gonna really happen awesome right after this art thing.
Yeah.
I can't remember it was some sort of, like, Blaze of Glory. Where the guys, no, it's not that. That one's sweet, though, too. There's one where there's, you know, it's a little goblin, like, jumping onto a giant with a sword out, and you're like, man, shit's about to get real. Too bad we don't get to see it.
Oh, Assault Strobe, maybe?
Nah, it's one where, like, if they get a pump and then you sacrifice it at the end of turn or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
One of those ones. Yeah. One of those very many red cards.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, that's another thing that red gets. It gets a million different names for the exact same card, and then, like, green just gets Rampant Growth reprinted, so it doesn't have to worry about that shit. Look at me, I can threaten you a million different ways. Too bad, it's all the same shit every goddamn time. Oh, it's Trample this time. Woo!
I like the one that it puts the counter on him. That's my favorite threat.
Yeah, it's like, from...
Your guy's bigger now.
From, Mark of Mutiny, right?
Yeah.
From Zenjika. All
right. Calvin, what do you got for us today?
Today is supposed to be Greed. For the Deadly Sin. This is some bullshit, though.
I'm tired of these. Good,
yeah, but I'm tired of these sins.
You got something else you want to talk about, Ian.
Yeah, the cool thing about Sins is that, like, you cannot do, you can, like, say fuck it to Sins, and it doesn't matter, because you're, you know what I mean? It's like for my segment, we're always talking about breaking the rules. So, if I don't talk about breaking the rules, it's still breaking the rules, you know? So, you can do whatever you want.
I'm trying to figure out what I actually want to do other than that. I mean, the one thing I actually kind of want to do is a segment where I try to figure out, like, a way to use, like, the dual colors to come up with, like, as many aggressive strategies in the 10 different colors.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm using that as, like, something I could do when Ravnica comes out. Because I want to see, like, the new guilds and stuff. And actually, the other thing I actually kind of want to talk about is the 10 previous effects that Ravnica had that aren't coming back. I kind of wanted to think about them and think about, like, why they aren't coming back. But every time I think about that segment, it just feels more like of a group discussion at the end.
That sounds like a fourth segment.
Yeah.
Yes, and like 8 out of 10 of them is because it sucks.
Yeah. I mean, and they already brought back Bloodthirst, and that's still probably because it sucks. So.
I mean, Radiance.
Which one was all right, people. Which group had Radiance?
Boris.
Calvin, also known as Captain Boris. We're going for you. I didn't get a chance to play during Ravnica, I kind of missed a bunch of the effects, and the only one I actually wanted was Into Red Zone, Haunt, and Dredge.
Okay, Transmute was actually pretty goddamn sweet, though.
Transmute's pretty broken. Well, not broken, but pretty good.
Yeah.
Radiance is different depending, but it always talks about sharing a color.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's kind of like Domain, right? For only colors or something?
And then you got shit like Graft. Get the fuck out. I guess some people might like the Selesnya one. I forget what it's called, though. The one where you tap.
Convoke?
Convoke.
I think it's kind of confusing because it only reduces mana cost if it's the creature's color. So then, like, I have to do all this goddamn math with Solemn Simulacrums and stuff. Like, how much colors do I have? Fuck that! The one thing about Graft that I will say is that, is it Land of War Reborn that has Graft?
Yeah, the land.
Yeah, I use that in my Malira my Malira combo deck, modern deck, so I gotta give it props.
He's got a mono black deck that has Land of War Reborn.
No, it's not mono black, it's Malira.
Malira's green.
Let's see.
Malira.
Oh, this is printed like a year ago.
It's a persist combo deck. Malira is the one that makes it so your tokens, you can't get poisoned, and your guys don't get infect tokens and shit.
Yeah.
So that was like a good way to reset like a fucking persister. No, persister, like a so I could combo out with like that and the sac outlet and mortician beetle or like the bloodthorn vampire and just like, you know, make him big as hell. It was a pretty fun deck.
Yeah. I like Hellbent a lot, but I don't think many people did.
Yeah, and I don't think Hellbent really matches with what they're trying to do nowadays. Where Hellbent, like, it's way more complicated. I think they'll give Rakdos something more straightforward, you know, something like just more like playable for the kids and and not so Christian friendly, I guess. Not Christian like Christ followers, but Christian, our co-guest host.
But they did say that like a bunch of the effects that they're going to have in a new set are not, they're not the effects that Ravnica had before, but they are effects that Ravnica, they basically work with the previous mechanics.
You know what, let's actually just make this your segment. I think we're talking about it pretty good right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Does that sound like a bad thing?
No.
There's no problem there with me then. All right, people. Calvin, also known as Captain Red Zone. We're going for you! Swag. Back when we won! Into the Red Zone. Swag. We're going for you! Swag. Back when we won! Into the Red Zone. Because they were talking basically like it might not be Dredge itself, but it would be something that kind of works with Dredge, you know? Because they're basically using mechanics that are still going to be in the flavor of the guilds, and the various guilds do have like this, still have like the same functions or various whatever it is they do, but they have said that like the new guilds are going to basically be have abilities that still fall in line with the previous stuff. So even though Radiant sucks, there's a very good chance Boris is going to get something Radiant light or something that actually works for Radiant. Like, you know, Radiant's better or Radiant radiates better.
I'm calling right now that Boros is going to get, like, an Anthem effect. That's just my guess.
Yeah. Oh, I just kind of hope Boros gets Battlecry.
No, well, they don't need Battlecry.
Oh, God. That's, like,
I'm just saying,
that's your August Kostek right there.
I'm just saying, that was, like, the effect that I think would have been better there instead of in
Instead of Radiance.
Yeah, for sure.
Replicate was pretty good. I'll give them that.
Was that Gruul?
That was Is It.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So you could do, like, Giga Drowse or Shattering Spree.
Oh, right, Giga Drowse. Okay, sure. Yeah.
Oh, that's when you were able to, like, pay the mana to be able to cast a spell a second or third time or make another copy of it or something?
Yeah.
It's, like, not as annoying as buyback because you're still only doing it once. Like, you get one instance of it that you can do it, but it's cool. I like it.
Yeah. Shattering Spree is it's just a badass name for it, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, Fuck up everything. Isn't the Djinn Illuminatus, isn't that like the big creature? It's like 7 to cast, 5-6 or something, but it makes it so all of your instants and sorceries have replicate. Like,
mm-hmm. The red-blue one.
So that's Simic, right? That's probably from, I bet that card's from this set.
And that was like, is it?
Yeah
it's from Guild Pact.
It's from somewhere. The only reason I even know that creature is because I saw him in like, what was it, was that Zedru deck, the red, white, blue one that it came in?
No. Doesn't look like it.
I don't have one of these. The Steeler Sovereign dude, the five
spy and that one. I'm thinking the wrong guy.
Fuck. I know what you're talking about though. This guy's pretty similar, but he's actually got five colorless in the casting cost instead of that fucking annoying ass five splits, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay, so in passing, we've talked about all four from Ravnica. We've talked about Radiance, Convoke, Transmute, and Dredge.
No, we didn't really talk about Dredge too much, I mean.
Well, it's good.
Newsflash.
Yeah, newsflash, Dredge is good. We're still missing one from Guild Pact, and it's Haunt. Oh, God.
Okay, now... Haunt was the effect where you played a card, and when it died, it came back and basically, like, enchanted something. Right?
Let me
pull up Orjan Pontiff, because that guy had it, I'm pretty sure. There we go. Okay, so let me just read Haunt. Haunt is an evergreen term. When this creature dies, exile it, haunting target creature. Now, I have the Orjan Pontiff up. And so it's when Orzhov Pontiff enters the battlefield, or when the hunter creature dies, choose one. Creatures you control get +1/+1, or creatures you don't control get -1/-1 until end of turn. So, like, basically it's just a bunch of, like, fucked up death triggers and stuff, and who wants to deal with that, you know?
Yeah, Haunt's a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
Haunt is worse than, like, championing.
Yeah, it's up there, though, with championing. What was I thinking? I was gonna say, I can't remember what card I was gonna say, but, there's something like Haunt that just annoys the fuck out of me, and so whenever I see Haunt, it's just, you know, and then, like, the fact that people can bounce things at instant speed, or, like, kill their own shit to stop haunting, it's just like, I mean, haunting should be something cool, but, all the abilities too, like, his ability's not so bad, the Pontiff, but, like, for the most part, they're all bad. And then when you compare it to the other terms from Ravnica, or just like your own common sense about how a card should be at least semi-usable, like, you just get kind of sick of all these haunting cards.
Yeah, they're pretty terrible.
I would play Seize the Soul, though. It does actually look like a pretty good one.
Let me check that one out.
It's two colors and a black instant. When you... destroy target non-white, non-black creature, and then you get a 1/1 creature, 1/1 spirit token with flying. And then you haunt the creature, and then when that creature dies, you get to destroy another non-white, non-black creature and get another 1/1.
Oh. Hey. Yeah, that card's awesome.
Now, with it being an instant, you could actually be like, you know, like someone's going to wrath the board. Like, okay, pay four, haunt this dude. Like, pay four, destroy that creature, get a token, bring it back, haunt. Actually, no, the haunt wouldn't come back in time for wrath, would it?
Nah.
But, I didn't know there was haunt on any non-creatures, honestly.
Yeah, some spells can haunt,
They have a couple of spells that had it. There's that one, and there was another one that did, like, discard or something in a life gain one, I think. Yeah, there was a Cry of the Contention or something like that, Contrarian, whatever.
It sounds like you guys are turning around and haunt. I'm not sure I want this to happen.
Cry of Contrition. Oh, yeah, okay. I've seen Cry of Contrition. That card's okay.
Like if you could pay one black, target player discards a card, and then when it came back, it would haunt the creature, and if that creature died, discard a card.
Yeah, I think it's kind of unfortunate that these cards have haunt, though. Like, it just seems like that could be named any other of millions of, like, generic, like, rebound, reiterate type, you know, terms. And haunt should be something way more badass. You know what I mean? Like, something like the Goblin Raze Runners, right, who just, like, make tokens and burn your shit down. Or, oh, no, what's that red dude that that sets lands on fire and you take damage?
Oh, I forget.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know you're talking about the little elemental 4/4 guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw one of you two use it. That's why I was asking.
It's an elemental creature.
It wasn't me.
Four attack, four defense. It's like pay one colorless and three red, put a blaze counter on target land. And at the beginning of the person that owns that land, at the beginning of their upkeep, they take, like, 1 point of damage because the land is on fire.
Yeah, I know I gotta look it up or else we're just gonna have to wait for somebody to post a comment or some shit. Okay, hold on.
I know that, like, the fucked up part is, like, I know the card. It's, it's on Duels. The new Duels of the Planeswalker 13, it's on there.
I'm just gonna search the word blaze and I'm sure I'll find it. Oh, here we go. Obsidian Fireheart. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
That thing also has one of the most badass pictures ever. Like when I play D&D, if I ever come across like a fire elemental, this is how I'm gonna describe a motherfucker, you know what I mean? So God, I can't even remember why the fuck I brought this asshole up in the first place. Oh,
because we're talking about haunt?
Yes, okay, so I think haunt should be more like that guy, where like you know, it puts a counter on something or it permanently haunts something, but it doesn't like double trigger effects. It just keeps dealing damage or like it gives them like a Megrim effect or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, or is it Bottomless Pit that everyone discards a card during their upkeep, right?
Bottomless Pit at the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player discards a card at random.
Yeah, see, like that card would be fucking sweet as a haunt card. Like, you just like haunt a permanent. And then, like, that happens every turn while the permanent's in play. Like, that seems more like haunting to me, something that doesn't go away.
Something that, like, instead of waiting for your creature to fucking die, it actually is happening to it right now. Like, kind of like one of the ghosts from Scooby-Doo, like, chasing them around the field and still doing its, like, thing.
Yeah, dude, exactly. Scooby-Doo. I'm down with that.
Is that all 10 of them? Okay, is Chris dead?
No, there's another one. I just didn't have a lot to say about Haunt. I still hate it. The one we have left is actually Forecast.
Oh
yeah.
Forecast I'm actually okay about. I might miss it a little bit.
Is that blue-white?
Yeah.
Okay. Forecast is that also the one that's in Time Spiral, right?
A couple of them were in Time Spiral. It might have been.
Man, there's a shadow guy, I think, that has Forecast. that gives target player creature shadow until end of turn.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sometimes the things with Forecast are better just to forecast and never, like, legit cast.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how this thing
is. Yeah, Spirit End All.
Yes, Spirit End All. That card, so it's not actually a Ravnica card, so I guess, like, it kind of... kind of doesn't make it. And I don't... Oh, a Proclamation. That's actually the big 1A. Yeah, big 4-class card, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I want to talk about Spirit and Doll because I put that in my Ruhan deck, and it's fucking sweet. So, this is actually from Future Sight, though. where they were reprinting it. And this forecast, actually, just you reveal it. So that's how all the forecasts have. They have, like, a mana cost, and then you reveal the card, which is, like what? Basically nothing. Like, maybe they can Nebuchadnezzar you easier or something, you know? And it actually gives target creature shadow until end of turn. In the meantime, this is just a 3-for-2-1 shadow, so there's, like, there's almost no fucking reason not to just hold on to it and forecast it a bunch of times. Skyscribing, which is another one that I played with recently because it was in the commander box, you know. That one, you just reveal it for 2 and a blue and you like, draw a card, you know.
And the good thing about, actually out of the forecast ones, I think Skyscribing was actually the better one. Because you could forecast it and draw cards, but you could always go X in the 2 blue and actually, like, draw a ton of cards.
Yeah.
Or stroke out the table.
Stroke.
Well, it's the same thing. I'm just using a different name.
Yeah. I know, just feel like saying stroke.
Sky stroking.
But yeah, like, I've used sky scribbling in, what was it, the green, in my,
Scribing.
Scribing? Oh, yeah, it is scribing. I thought it was scribbling. Sorry, my bad. Because the photograph deck that I had was basically, like, pretty much, like, draw everybody out and make them, like, discard and play and give them extra stuff and until eventually they couldn't do anything. And it's a perfect way to, like, early game, just pay 3 mana, keep drawing cards, everybody draws cards, everybody likes drawing cards. And then, like, at the end of the game, like, once the libraries get low enough, you can always just kind of cast it and just kind of empty everybody out.
Yeah, I like forecast, I will say. So maybe they weren't, maybe 8 of them didn't suck. That's what we've learned today.
Yeah, but they're mostly, they're still all pretty complicated.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind that. Except for, like, Haunt.
It's just, you know, the abilities they've been printing lately have been more, like, streamlined, I guess, you know. Like, Metalcraft. You know, they're just all pretty, like, they're all pretty normal and boring a little bit. And, or even bring back Flashback. I mean, Innistrad didn't, I guess the flip cards were super overtly complicated, but I mean, we all, every Magic player out in the world saw that and, like, slapped their head in unison when we heard about these flip cards, so I mean, there's no surprise that that shit was really annoying.
But the real question is, how many of those flip cards have actually made it into any of your decks?
Garrick. And,
the one that gives +1/+0 to attacking and then +3/+0 when it flips.
Yeah, the Drunken Roustabouts, those guys are pretty good. I can't remember what they're called. Oh, Instigator Gang.
Yeah.
Those guys are good. I've never gotten my hands on the expensive guy, but I don't really find him very appealing anyways. What's that?
Just for the record, three have made it into mine. Mayor of Averbrook.
Yeah, Mayor, that's true too.
I think the flip cards that aren't werewolves are probably a little more viable. Like, even, like, the egg that turns into the giant-ass lizard.
Dude, I've gotten my ass handed by that goddamn lizard over and over again, so.
Yeah, but, like, you know, the flip cards actually are pretty good, though. Like, I mean, granted, I personally hate the way that they work, like, in mechanical-wise. But, like, in-game play, they're just about fine, as long as you can actually get them in.
I hate having to flip over, well, since we're using the word hate, I guess. I hate having to flip over Garrick. Like, it's annoying. I leave him unflipped all the time, so I look at it and I'm like, oh yeah, and then I have to flip him back over in the sleeve and shit. I think it's really annoying. The Kamigawa flip, they're all flip cards, I guess. Kamigawa flip cards are less annoying because at least you don't have to, like, dick around with pulling it out of the sleeve. Yeah, unsleeving, because unsleeving is a good way to just fuck up one sleeve and that's it. Okay, I think I'm drawing Garrick, because this is a sleeve that has 6 million fingernail punctures in it.
Oh, wow. Did you know that Ravnica is when they started the Lamassu creature type?
Really?
Oh. Yeah. And there's only one card, Hunted Lamassu.
Oh, yeah, well, most of the Archons are riding Lamassus. That's, like, where most of the Lamassus are showing up. Because, like, what's that one that was just there?
I don't think
that's got to get cut.
What was that one douchebag, Kron, right? The Dawnclad?
Yeah.
That guy wrote a Lamassu.
Did he? So.
The first Lamassu has always been and always will be the one blue illusion that we all know he is. There's no need for names. You know the truth.
The Sphinx is. The Whitehead Sphinx is more in the older games, eh? They were shady.
Alright, so this is like the least aggressive into the red zone we've ever done.
because, like, we don't have to get that aggressive. Like, even the captain gets tired, and damn it, the captain's tired. I just want a bottle of whiskey, sit down, and watch some stuff. Porn, maybe.
Damn.
That sounds like a good night.
Alright. Let's just shut it off right there.
My balls, bitch.
We haven't really been bringing the anger and fire like we sometimes have in the off-color world lately, so I decided it's about time we do a little bit more of that. So, every now and then we're just going to pick a permanent type or a spell type, you know, a card type, I guess, would be the way to say it. And we're going to talk about the ones that just get under our skin and make us want to murder somebody. This week we're going to talk about artifacts. So we'll each talk about an artifact or two that we hate, maybe talk about it some. You guys are free to disagree. I would recommend doing that by sending us an email at offcolorcast@gmail.com. Why did I say that at the beginning? Cassidy, why don't you bring us with our first one that you despise?
Well, they probably already disagree with us in the fact that there's no terrible artifacts. So I'm going to choose maybe an obvious one as my first one, and this is going to be the card known as Mana Crypt. Mana Crypt is a zero to cast artifact that was originally, like a promo insert for some of those books back in the day. And if you ever read any of those books, yeah, that's why this card's really expensive. Basically, it's at the beginning of your flip a coin. If you lose the flip, Mana Crypt deals 3 damage to you. So it's kind of like Mana Vault, but it doesn't matter if it's tapped or not. This thing might hurt you. And it taps to add 2 mana to your mana pool. So it's basically like a free soul ring that kind of hurts you. The reason I hate this card, first off, is that it's really, really rare to get. The only time it's ever been reprinted from that promo insert is, if I'm not mistaken, a Judge foil, which, yeah, no. But, I mean, Mana Crypt is just one of those cards where it's overpriced beyond it needs to be. There's cheaper versions that do basically the same thing, and the only reason you're ever running this card is to be like, check out my $100 bill, bling bling, y'all, you know what I mean? So, I really hate this card. Do you guys have any opinion on this card? Because you guys,
I don't like. It's definitely not as overpowering in the 30 card in the 30 life format. So that's another reason to be all about 30 life.
Sure.
But like, I mean, it's egregious. Like Soul Ring. If this comes down turn one, you're basically playing catch up the entire game. And cards like that are always a pain in the butt. So I'll support your hatred of Mana Crypt.
If there's one thing I have to say about Mana Crypt that I'm going to say I actually hate about it, it's the whole fucking flip a coin. Because I know for a fact. Because I know for a fact that no matter what happens, I would only get 2 mana out of this bitch before it started to slowly kill me through every game I casted. I have no luck at all. Like literally, when it comes to like coin flips. I could flip a coin right now, and I guarantee you it would end up landing on, like, sides, just so I don't call it right. And I can see this card just, like, slowly picking away at me. 3 points, 3 points. Like, the other players wouldn't even attack me because my own damn Mana Crypt would murder me 4 of them.
On the plus side, though,
okay.
If an opponent's Mana Crypt is a good way to get those, what, luck counters from landing coin flips... On, I can't remember, what's the name of the card that wins the game when you get 10 counters on it?
Oh, yeah. Something. Also, you know, any card that makes it so someone can play a first turn Azusa, that's definitely a bad mojo right there, guys. So, just saying.
But this would give you a reason to play that, what's it, Crack's Thumb? The one that gives you a chance to flip twice?
Yeah, Crack's Thumb.
Yeah, it's like you pay, like, what is it? You take, like, turn one this, tap it, add two colorless, put the thumb in, and now every turn you have two chances to try to get the damn thing untapped.
So we're basically going to make, like, what, it's going to be a red-green deck with flipping werewolves, flipping coins, and Kamigawa flip cards. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
No.
All right. So I think this one stands up in Hatred Court. Calvin, why don't you bring us an artifact that you despise?
Okay. If we're going to be talking about an artifact that I personally can't stand, it would have to be Acorn Catapult.
This is what you're doing? This is what you're doing to our show?
Look, I personally love choking generators. I just hate it when they actually go to somebody else. but the thing that gets to me about Acorn Catapult,
this is not the real life. I refuse to believe that I'm not asleep right now, and you're not haunting my dreams. Go on.
Well, I mean, like, if he is, it's only two triggers.
Like, the other thing I can't really stand about Acorn Catapult is the fact that, one, it's basically five mana to use, and you're only going to ping, like, one guy. But then you give them a dude. So it's like, in a 40 life or even a 30 life format, it's like kind of pointless. So why would this card even be printed in like the Commander product? It's like a waste of a rare slot. It's annoying.
I think it's better.
I've never seen anyone ever use it and give me a fucking token.
I think you just hit yourself with it and give yourself squirrels.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't want to ping my damn. Why would I pay five mana and a life to get a 1/1 token?
It's really, really good in Darien. That's where I use it. That way you get a soldier and a squirrel every time you use it. And then if you have, like, one of the Soul Sisters in play, you actually gain two life. So, yeah.
Can you see the amount of hoops you have to jump through to make this card good?
Dude.
You have to play a creature who, one, actually would want you to hurt yourself, and two... Actually, and then at the end of it, what do you get? Two life and a 1/1 squirrel token and a 1/1 soldier who's not even a fucking human.
Hey, you could also stuffy or use it on your own stuffy doll, which is a pretty funny, like pretty funny visual of like chucking some acorns at a, like a fucking doll just sitting there.
It'd probably be better if it didn't have the tap in it.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome. Like an acorn bazooka or acorn like Gatling gun or some shit.
Okay.
Like, acorn 47.
I guess I'll let this one stand, Cassidy. I guess he's allowed to hate this card.
I overrule or I object anyways, but
you
I guess
object. This doesn't seem correct.
Yes, I object to this. But at the same time it is a shitty card, so I can understand how you would say that.
Wow. You'll object to mine, because I'm just going to pull out the big gun right away and get it out of the way.
General.
It might be my most hated artifact in the game, and that's Coat of Arms.
Okay. Aren't you happy? Because that's where I was thinking about going, but then I saw Acorn Catapult and felt rage. So now, suck it, Chris.
Yeah.
So, you know, Coat of Arms, 5 mana, tribal decks get good. That's the end of it. It's just so inelegant. And so, like, dumb, retard sledgehammer over the head about it. But that and the math's stupid, too, when people start having, like, if I've got elf wizards over here and you've got, like, snake wizards or something, the math all gets really fucked up.
What about an elf snake at the same time?
Yeah.
The oracle.
And I actually forget the ruling on how that all works. Because I don't think it gets it twice. It'll get it once somehow. Yeah. And it's just a wreck.
If you had an elf and a snake and another elf and another snake?
Is that what you're saying? More like if you've got like three different creature types intersecting on like maybe three cards. Like you've got like a human soldier. Well, no, that's not going to happen. stretch. Yeah. So you've got an elf soldier, and then, like, an elf wizard, and then, like, a merfolk wizard. How the bonuses apply to all those three dudes is something that always breaks my head.
The merfolk would only get one because he's only paired up with the elf wizard. The elf wizard would get two because he's got a wizard and another elf. And the elf soldier would get one because there's no other soldiers.
Yeah.
The thing I like about Coat of Arms is that when it was first printed, I guess, was it back in Ice Age? Oh, no, Exodus, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Exodus was also one of the most badass sets. It was when they first started color coding the rarity of the cards, which at the time was, like, fucking mind-blowingly good because you could never tell. Like, it's really hard to tell old cards, like, what rarity they are. When it was printed, like, I've always been a big fan of tribal decks, even when, like, they were making it difficult for you by not making legends, like, you know, actual creatures, you know, and that sort of thing. So I really liked Coat of Arms because of the nostalgia it brings, but, like, everything you said about it, Christian, is totally true. Like, I hate the math on it. It is just, like, totally, like, a sledgehammer, and especially nowadays when, like, you have stupid things like Avenger Zendikar, where it's, like, you didn't actually do any work to build this army and have a coat of arms. It's just like, herp a derp, I have fun, you know. And they also, they printed a lot more, like fixed versions of the card, like Door Destinies and stuff like that. They're, like, it's not as broken, and it's not as, like, the math isn't nearly as difficult, that sort of thing. But, like, I definitely have, like, a pretty strong part of my heart for Coat of Arms. Just nostalgia. For me, really, honestly.
Yeah.
I have to say that Coat of Arms sucks. The main reason I say it sucks is because of the fact that it doesn't... When I first saw Coat of Arms, happened to be the time when I found out about Changelings. And I thought in my mind that if I put two Changelings on the field, technically, since they're all creature types, these things should be fucking huge, right? I mean... No, it gives each other one. And I'm like, hold on, but what if I have, like, an elf and a soldier or something like that? I mean, they still count, right? Like, they give out the bonuses to others. But then I figured out, like, I forgot what it was, but I think the ruling was that even though they give bonuses to others because they count as warriors or soldiers or whatever else, they get none of that bonus back. So even if you had, like, a changeling and, like, some other way to get a ton of, like, different things and, like, if you had this out in a tokens deck and you just put out a beast token and a whatever token and a human token and this and that and a third, the changelings still only get, like, one because they're changelings.
Oh, really?
So it was some stupid ruling like that I found out. And I actually had, like, actually asked a judge about it one time and sent out emails to find out about it because it just seemed like bullshit when he told me it didn't work. And I was like, oh, my God, this does not work. Literally, this card fucking hates changelings. Well, technically, that should be the creature type it loves the most.
I think what it actually does is it says sharing multiple creature types doesn't give any additional bonuses. It says it only counts creatures and not creature types, I guess. So that's the thing. But I think, like, changelings still, like, would get, you know, if there's, like, if you have a the mirror entity in play and you have, like, six or seven different creature types, like, you'll get one for each of the other creatures just because he is one of those each of those creatures, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, but I don't think so. Because, like, what was it? It might be. But I remember, like, a long time ago when I first looked at it, I thought that these things should be, like, 50-50 creatures or something like that.
Yeah, you're going to get one, like, bonus from another changeling. You won't get, like, a billion.
Yeah.
But how about the fact that I don't like Mirror Entity as a card because it shouldn't be, like, the best tribal card.
Oh, yeah. Well, that card's amazing with Coat of Arms, by the way, because it basically makes it so each creature gets +1/+1 for each other creature in play.
Yeah.
So I think I understand why you put Coat of Arms on the list, but I have to slightly object with the knowledge that I will be overruled. You know, it's just one of those, like, object for the record type deals.
So. Yeah. So that it can be marked.
Yeah, exactly. Mark this in the record, Calvin.
I didn't realize I was supposed to be keeping a record.
Oh, you're the secretary.
You're the secretary.
I'm a Harwood secretary.
That's for sure. Cassidy, what do you got for your second one?
Oh, yeah, two. Holy shit. Oh, my God. No, I'm just joking. Okay.
So we were originally going to do three. So I had a few picked up, but I think we all decided that Mindslaver was already talked about.
Sort of Fire and Ice might be talked about enough too.
Yeah,
I should have one day up the list. Whoops, sorry.
Isn't Darksteel Forge and that shit, isn't that even more I'll talk about the Mycosynth Lattice, why not? Okay, so, I'm gonna talk about then, Mycosynth Lattice, which is a 6 to cast artifact. All permanents are artifacts in addition to their other types. All cards that aren't on the battlefield, spells and permanents are colorless. Also players may spend mana as though or were mana of any color. The reason I hate this card is because it seems like it's so cool, right? I mean, you can do so many cool things with this, but what the fuck happens every goddamn time? No. Yeah. Darksteel Forge and the Nevernurl's Disc. And everyone who ever plays this combo is always like, I'm good at this game. You're like, no, you're not. That's what everyone does with this shit. Can't you find something else to do with the fucking Mycosynth Lattice? play Noxious Vapors.
Yeah. Play Noxious Vapors.
Yeah.
Of course, you're pitching your own hand, too.
Yeah, but I mean...
It's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it for Mycosynth Lattice technology. Come on, bro. This is one of those cards that, could have been cool, but it's just, it just ends up being, a really dumb, annoying combo piece. And the fact that, it also makes things like Affinity really annoying, you know? Or the fact that all permanents besides your own are artifacts... And you could, Darksteel Forge and then just Shatterstorm and be like, so, I've been making a lot of bad noises today, I apologize. Anyways.
You're just gonna edit most of it out anyway.
Probably not, because I don't pay that much attention. What do you guys think about Mycosynth Lattice? Any opinions?
It is kind of a pain in the butt, and yeah, it's pretty much gonna get played the same way every time. I mean, I'm sure there are some pretty neato combos you can do with it, but I've never taken the time to figure them out because I don't really like the card. I'm actually, my biggest problem with it is that the word Lattice is in the name. Right. And I hate that one. I hate the word Lattice.
Why?
I don't know.
Too much like lettuce?
I don't know what it is, but I just read the card name, I'm like, ugh, this thing's garbage.
don't even know what it does. I just know it's got Lattice in it, so fuck that shit.
Calvin, do you have a more feasible reason for not liking it?
No, I don't, because I have no idea what it is.
I mean, you read it.
No, I didn't.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
But I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, alright. I'll reread it for you, Calvin. So, all artifacts in play all permanents are artifacts in addition to their other...
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
That's that fucking thing that people use with the fucking artifact legendary guy who keeps stealing shit.
Yeah, Memnarch. Yeah.
Memnarch, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to repeat the same exact thing the cast did.
No, not that. I'm just saying that's that fucking thing where it's you turn everything into fucking artifacts and then you drop Memnarch and you start paying blue mana to just start snatching fucking everything and...
Mm-hmm.
Untap this and extra mana.
Memnarch is a pretty hated artifact, too.
Dude, fuck Memnarch so hard. I hate, I heard someone talking about how, it's a good thing that Arkham Dagson's not running the deck because Arkham Dagson's super broken. He can win really fast. And I'm like, well, yeah, Arkham can win fast. That's great because fucking playing against Memnarch is, the slowest, most god-awful game on the planet. I mean,
yeah, if there's any. I think on the list of things that players hate the most, it's got to be your stuff being stolen is probably number one.
Mm-hmm.
That's right underneath fucking counter spells. I'm sorry.
I would rather my stuff be countered than have it get taken.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. I personally would prefer to have my stuff taken than countered.
Well, Wizards has done studies where they believe that the player would rather have the creature hit the ground and then immediately... get killed by a spell as opposed to getting countered.
Yeah, that's what I would prefer. Because, mm-hmm. when you have creatures that have, into the battlefield effects, you can at least get something out of it. You know? If they're going to steal the creature, you get a chance to try to block with it. Sometimes you get a chance to attack with it before it actually gets stolen. someone tries to steal it, you can have a chance to sack it and use it for a different effect, or like the different seers and stuff like that, and the other things that let you sacrifice a creature. But when it comes to... hold on a second, guys. Give me a quick second. I gotta...
If you come up with some other piece of shit like Acorn Catapult...
I gotta wipe some tears from my eyes.
Yeah, that's better be what you're wiping right now. Shit.
Okay. What the fuck was I going to talk about? What was I talking about prior to that?
I think we were done talking about Lattice, right?
Yeah.
Talking about Graveyard Shovel, that's what that is. Damn. Jesus Christ. What the hell? I don't even know what I'm going to be talking about next. Yeah, Chris, you're right. You take the next one, because I've got to find out artifact. I've lost place here.
Okay. I'm going to go with a pretty simple one. As if Coat of Arms wasn't simple enough. I'm just going to go with Eldrazi Monument. You know. Yeah, a very Calvin card. 5-mana artifact. Creatures you control get +1/+1 flying and are indestructible. Beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice creature if you can't sacrifice the monument. I don't make good decks. I don't have a lot of ways of dealing with indestructible things. And I especially don't have a lot of ways of dealing with all your dudes being flying now. So it usually it's just, oh look, a bunch of things that I'm never going to deal with. I wonder when he's going to decide to kill me with them.
I don't know, man, because, like, the fucking thing itself isn't indestructible. And you still have to sacrifice a creature.
Well, I mean, obviously the Avenger Zendikar has come down before this does.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I've never been a huge fan, just because I don't like the upkeep, like, payment things, because it's pretty easy to just, like, deny it on that. Or, like, you have to have a lot of creatures in play. Sure, it's awesome after Avenger Zendikar, but, like, if you can only fucking keep landing one creature and you're not, like, drawing into anything, it's basically a dead card. And the fact that, like, you can overcommit, you know, like, go in with your flying indestructible badasses, and then it's like, oh, look at this enchant. And then you're like, oh my god. Your whole army dies, and it's like, oh, Eldrazi Monument was cool, like, until someone had a real card, you know.
But you gotta admit, that would be, like, the best visual. Like all these, like, big-ass creatures flying, thinking they're gonna go kick some ass, and then out of nowhere, like, the fucking Crows and Grip. And then you just, like, all fucking getting the Icarus effect, just falling straight to the ground.
You know, I think if it didn't give him flying, I'd probably be fine with it. I don't even know why it gives him flying.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, what Eldrazi actually flies?
Emrakul.
Okay, there you go, one.
He's like an island, though. He's not a thing.
Yeah. Does he actually fly? God, what the hell is the point of that fucking card? Jesus Christ.
Would he be awesome?
I just don't, like, let's give this thing flying, too. Derp.
Wait. No, I was talking more, like, the artwork. Does Emrakul fly?
Emrakul does fly.
Oh, yeah, so Emrakul, bust that ass. Alright.
As if anything's left to block it after Annihilator sticks, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like you're posing for Playgirl.
Wouldn't it be Playgirl?
For both.
It's both. I need the money. Okay. Right, I've got it. Now, step out of the room before you say something else. It's going to mess around and end up on a recording that's going to go out to thousands and thousands of people about me being butt-ass naked.
You mean, like,
I've got no problem with it. I'm just, like, you know, just saying, like, the fact that our show might actually be more about me being nude than us actually talking about magic.
Oh, come on.
Is that a bad thing?
Post a picture of the Superman crotch on Facebook? I don't think they care.
Yeah, she does have a point. Chris is really weird, too.
What?
I see two men between a freaking crotch and their underoos. What the hell?
Lady has a point.
Being new.
Yeah, Cassie, what the hell?
Hey, that's not my Superman dong. I'm just looking at it dreamily.
Is it a thong?
No, dong, not thong.
Oh, God, don't put that image in my mind.
I don't think I have one of those.
Oh, thank God.
Hey,
who the hell you find men's thongs? You can Superman emblem from?
You go to the women's department.
Ah.
Supergirl has Superman, Supergirl thongs at the same time.
Yeah, package doesn't fit in those, though.
Now that just makes it even weirder.
Yeah, that's just a whole new level right there.
Yeah, what the hell, Calvin? You're fucked up, man.
Alright, guys, I'm going.
Hey, good night, man. Alright.
Yeah, we're gonna. After this is over, I'm not putting on clothes. I'm just letting you know that. I'm just gonna come to bed by ass naked. Alright. You better be ready for it.
Ready for you to sit your ass somewhere else.
I'll be nude anyway.
Yep. No. No.
I like to see you try that shit outside.
Shit outside. If it wasn't for the, if anybody asks, I'd just tell them I got robbed. They'll just send me on my way.
It's pretty harsh getting your boxers robbed, man. That's gangster shit.
Bye, guys.
All right.
I don't want the streaks in your drawers.
Yeah.
All right, Calvin, bring us on home. What's your last one?
God damn women. Throwing me off. Okay.
Yeah, are you erect right now?
Huh?
Oh, dude. Come on.
No, just laying there, chilling.
All right.
It's too hot for erection in this room.
No,
I'm just sitting down. I'm not standing. Oh, shit.
Come on, there's got to be some artifact you hate. It probably dropped. What about Mind's Eye?
Mind's Eye?
Yeah, that card sucks ass.
I actually like staff.
Wait, what about top?
Yeah. What, I thought we were avoiding, like, the obvious ones.
Yeah, that is pretty obvious.
Alright, let's go like this. There's a list of things that I do personally have of deep hatred for, as far as artifacts go. But there's the obvious ones that we really just have no point on talking about. Want to talk about Jit? Too fucking bad. Swords? Fuck them. Top, sure, why not, but ring. These are all, like, artifacts that we all can all just kind of just come together and just say we hate them.
Wait, and what's the ring?
Soul ring?
Soul ring.
Oh, soul ring, duh.
You know, soul ring, and then, you know, like, certain people can talk about Lightning Greaves if they want to talk about certain artifacts like that. So I'm looking for an artifact. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, there's certain artifacts that a lot of people complain about being overplayed or pointless or whatever. I mean, the only artifact that I could even think about talking about that most people would hate would be Intracron Scepter.
Well, I mean,
but I personally actually like that card.
Yeah, gotta be one you hate. What about, like, Dark Steel Ingot?
No, actually, I like Dark Steel Ingot.
What?
What's the hate?
What's the hate? I put that down, and I've got permanent, like, mana. Unless someone exiles this thing, it's not going anywhere. Auto land destruction, artifact destruction doesn't give a fuck. You gotta steal it or exile it.
Oh, my bad. I meant Darksteel Relic.
Oh. Yeah, that's what keeps the garbage. And I wouldn't even use that unless I was trying to get metal... Even if I were trying to get metal crap.
It's pretty good with, whatchamacallit, the Lich, right?
Oh, yeah.
What's that guy? Fuck. Something Lich.
Felicio Lich.
Felicio Lich.
What?
No, Phylactery
Lich. What the fuck has happened this evening?
Phylactery Lich.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay for Phylactery Lich. What about Steel Hellkite? That's a pain in the ass.
Okay, if I'm going to pick one, the one I'm going to have to pick is the one that I know I wouldn't like it, because I've seen her on the other side of the table too many fucking times. Legacy Weapon.
What?
Yeah, I've seen Legacy Weapon table too many times in my games.
Okay.
Mainly because, like, granted, it is 7 mana. Yes, it is 5 color. But the person that I know who happens to play this has, like, a way to untap lands and gain enough mana to be able to use this permanently and then just exile, like, all my permanents. And it's like, okay, well, if you're going to do that, why don't you just say so when it's in the game? But he never drops this down unless he has, like, counter magic up, which is something that I've always couldn't stand because, like, you know, who else plays fucking counter magic like that in EDH? I've never seen Legacy Weapon actually hit the board and me not lose. So if there's one artifact I personally would have to say I have a personal hatred against, it's Legacy Weapon. And granted, it does only go in one basic, like, but, well, it only goes, like, what, 5 decks. Child of Valar, Progenitus, Cro-Mat, what's that other elemental? A Horde of Notions, and...
The Slivers.
The Slivers. Oh, no, six decks, because you have that the Cronus, the False God, right?
Oh, yeah. No one would ever build with her.
If anyone's playing Corona, the False God, I don't know what you're doing, but you're pretty awesome.
Wow.
Well, sweet. Well, thank you, Chris, because I've actually gotten around to starting to build that. And I actually have one, like a deck board written up somewhere.
You know what I actually don't know? Well, I guess when other people are controlling Corona, does she still deal general damage?
Yeah.
Okay. So Corona could kill somebody like one turn around the board if you have enough players.
Yeah.
That's going to feel really bad for that one dude.
Well, what about if it's you? Because you're general disgust player. Next three players kill you.
Yeah, but that's why you put Corona down and you put like a vow on her.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad. Or Homeward Path is really, really good. Well, we're actually talking about Legacy Weapon. I don't know what to say because I don't play against very many five-color decks. And, like, if someone did bust this out against me, it'd be like, hell yeah, dude. And it's got that fucking, like, vigor ability, right? Like the Darksteel Colossus ability, where it just goes back into the, yeah. So I mean, you can't the anti reanimation technology. Yeah, I don't know about this card. I don't hate it, but I also would rather just play Karn Liberated or something, you know.
I can fully understand why you don't hate it, Cassidy, but there's actually a person in my local playgroup who has basically like four. Five color decks.
And they all have Legacy Weapon?
Yep.
Oh my god. Okay. Okay, I have sympathized with you then because that sounds awful.
One of them, I mean, the decks themselves are actually pretty cool, but it's more like Legacy Weapon is more of his emergency out. But when you play the deck, eventually it just feels like his permanent out. Because like I've said, he has a Child of Valar deck that sweeps the board. He has, what's this other one? He had a Progenitus deck, but he lost Progenitus. So he started using, like, I think it was, Reaper King just to have, like, the five-color general up there. There's another five-color general he has. Is it Cro-Mat or is it Sliver Queen? No, I had the Sliver Queen deck. But he has at least like four, and I can't even remember like all the different things. There's like a Planeswalker deck. There's a Planeswalker, Child of Valar, and two other ones. But either way, the end result of just about every game when he pulls out one of those fucking decks is Legacy Weapon.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Right. I withdraw my objection. Yeah, we can put that on the stack of shit. That sounds good.
Yeah, I guess I'll be grudgingly allowed. Okay, so there you have it. I brought up Coat of Arms and Eldrazi Monument. Both, I guess I just hate tribal is what we're learning.
Yep.
Cassidy gave us Mana Crypt and Mycosynth Lattice, because Cassidy plays the game better than I do. And Calvin gives us Acorn Catapult.
Legacy Weapon.
Okay. If you feel the need to defend any of these cards, please email us.
Come on. Cut you.
If there's artifacts that you really despise that we missed, and there's probably very many, why don't you email us about that too? The end.
That was like the greatest segment of all time.
Yeah, I like your picks way better than mine, Calvin. Mine's stuck now. Alright, I'm gonna end this. Let's end this.
Yeah.
Before we end up just completely getting to a weird place.
Yeah, or hearing any more weird shit from Calvin's side of the mind.
Um, Okay, kids, you've made it through the 22 caliber version of Off Color Cast. This is Chris saying goodbye. If you want to talk to me, why don't you hit me up on Twitter at Christian Renault or email the show, offcolorcast@gmail.com. If I get it before Calvin does, I'll answer it. All right, Cassidy, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone. Pretty okay episode, sort of. We'll see how it goes with the the final editing, but that part with Calvin being naked is probably the greatest thing of all time. I can't even remember what else we did in this episode.
I really can't either.
You know, as always, check out those articles on TCG Player, and then hit me up on Twitter at Writer of Wrong, and that's pretty much the best way to get in touch with me. I have been noticing when any comments have been made on the site because I get email like notification and shit, so that's sort of a good way to reach me. But besides that, see you guys next week for episode 23, which, well, Michael Jordan? I don't know. We'll figure out something stupid. I don't know.
All right, Calvin, bring us on home.
Okay, everybody, this is Calvin, also known as Captain Rez on the Red Internet. Probably going to be changing that name to Ringo Mandingo soon. If you're looking for me, it's Calvin. It's on Facebook. You can always catch me on Gmail, CaptainRedZone@gmail.com. Catch me on Twitter at CaptainRedZone. Yeah, I'm always in the emails for offcolorcast.com. Always in the comment section, waiting for comments and stuff like that to pop up, because literally I have almost nothing to do when I'm at work. Yeah, so let's end this show out now so I can get out of this hot ass room and go find a nice cool area to go sit down in with a fan. So my balls can dry off.
All right. Later, folks.
Good night.
Good night, people. Good night.